crowd liked that.
That crowd liked that. Yeah, I could tell.
So, welcome to all you fascists.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, our crowd. Yes.
Okay. So you're asking me if I have a holder, right?
Right.
But we're in different states. And we're about to start.
Yeah, how do we film?
Well, the way it's going to have to work is you're going to have your own TikTok, right? And then okay. I will go live and I'll add you to my TikTok.
Uh-huh.
And then we'll be on TikTok, split screen.
From our phones.
Yeah, so, you know, a little tripod holder, you know?
Right.
That could be an option.
Can I do it from my computer like Zoom, like I do Zoom?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Because that's already kind of set up. I mean, it's stationary. My computer doesn't go anywhere, but
might be easier. Yeah, these are all really good questions. I don't know. I think you can log into TikTok through your computer, though. I think that's possible.
All right. I don't even. So.
So once you have a TikTok, then you would just sign in to TikTok from your laptop, and then boom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. That sounds right.
I think so.
And I don't think I do. I got on TikTok, but you don't have to. Have your own TikTok to go on.
You got to have your own TikTok. So, and so, yeah. You know, you're going to want to put some thought into that too. You know,
right.
What's that going to be called?
Yeah, your own thought.
Right. No, well, no, but I mean, you're going to have to carry the show today. I don't know if you realize that or not yet. So, crowd like that, too. I don't know.
Well, sure.
No, but I think it's pretty basic. I think we're good to go. You know, I got to decide what I'm going to call this TikTok account. Just to give you an update on that. The post that went viral has now been removed for violation of community standards. which happened, and then I appealed, and then they put it back up. So, I figured I was okay. But enough people complained again. So, which I believe were incel males that were complaining. They were unhappy that so many thousand, 100,000 women were dragging them every time they made a comment. So,
right. I don't know what you did.
But here's the thing. Well, I mean, basically, the meme basically said, guys don't know how to have sex. That was the meme.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
And then about 150,000 women jumped on and said, yeah, that's true. And then other guys were like, oh, you're picking the wrong guy. And then the girls would be like, oh, here's one of them. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it was hilarious to watch. I love watching guys get dogpiled by women. So it was fantastic. But apparently enough guys complained. So, you know, killed the goose. But yeah. They did not remove the likes or followers. So okay. we're good to go.
So, yeah, all right. Mm. I'm there.
My plan also is to repost the offending meme, like, in a month. You know?
What? See what happens?
See if it does it again. It goes viral again. Right. I mean, who cares? Well, all they're going to do is pull it again, right?
So were some of these women piling on in such a way that some of these men wouldn't understand they're being piled upon?
Well, here's the thing. You know, TikTok has a filter that will try to pull out bullying, hateful comments.
All right.
So that was happening anyway before anybody saw anything. In spite of that, some men still felt they were offended because, you know, how dare you say men suck at sex? That's not me. Ask my 15 girlfriends. You know what I mean? Ask my three ex-wives, you know. It was so great, though. You know, because every guy that limped in was like, well, you know, maybe it's your fault for not choosing the right guy. All of the women I'm with have orgasms. And then people would be like, oh, yeah, sure, buddy. Sure, they do. It was fantastic. It really was. It was glorious. So I'm on the lookout now for any memes that could elicit the same reaction, you know?
Right.
So I almost thought about changing the account to like Girls World or Girls Rule or something, the name of it. And just just focus in on anti man memes.
Well, because they do rule.
Well, they do rule, but then, I mean, it's low-hanging fruit in terms of, like, if you're ripping on guys' sexual prowess, that's easy money. That's easy money. So.
Well, I remember one of my first, this goes back to high school, too, and watching girls talk about guys in front of them, and they didn't even know.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. That's classic. Like you're 2 feet in front of them.
Yeah, yeah. I thought, wow, are girls smarter than guys? You know?
Substantially. You know, that's probably happened to me a bunch of times, too. Now that I look back on my life, there's been plenty of times where it's like a group of girls and me, and I can tell, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. I mean, I was observing this, but at the same time, were they talking about me and I didn't know?
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know, wait, women rule. Totally. But especially, you know, when you talk about a guy's sexual prowess, right? Yeah. You know, aside from penis length, it's the most disturbing thing that you can talk about a guy, right?
Right. Yeah.
No, it's not me.
I think that's what you're talking about.
It's not me. That's not me.
And the ones bragging often seem to be the most suspect.
100%. Well, the ones that are triggered by it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because anybody who continually brings, you know, his partner to orgasm probably isn't having a second feeling about that, right? Because it really isn't him. You know what I mean? Right. You know, but if somebody says something and it's you, it's like you feel compelled to announce to everybody unprovoked that it's not you, it's you. What's the Shakespeare line?
What is the Shakespeare line?
Me doth think thou protest too much.
Oh, sure, of course.
Right. You know, and then you look at, of course, you look at the, you know, the profile pics, you do a little profile spamming after these arguments, and you look up the guy, and it's just like, of course, you know what I mean? Like, goddamn, dude, at least fix your profile before you complain. You know, it's like two anti-woman memes, a truck, you know.
Too typical. Stereotypical.
Now, this, of course, all of this gets prompted by this. I don't even know what magazine it was in, where they asked women whether they would be rather be alone in the forest with a bear or a man they didn't know. That was the question.
What was the answer to that?
Overwhelmingly, women chose the bear. they would rather be in the forest alone with a bear than with a man they don't know. So that kind of puts it in perspective, right?
I guess, because a bear will rip you to shreds.
A bear will rip you to shreds, but it might not. And that's a chance a woman is willing to take versus a man who, right.
Oh, got you.
I think it was McCall's did like a survey. This is many years ago. And
McCall's magazine?
Yeah, yeah. And they asked women and men. They asked women, you know, what's your biggest fears on a date with a man? And vice versa. So they asked the men, what were your biggest fears? The biggest fears for the men were that the women were going to make fun, poke fun at either his body, or his career.
Yeah.
Right? The amount of money that he had. The women's top two fears were being raped or murdered.
Sure.
Yeah. So, yeah. So women would rather take their chances
McCall's
with
magazine,
a bear.
Huh? McCall's magazine.
I believe it was either McCall's or Red Book, I want to say. Mm. Back in the day.
Those are women's magazines.
Yeah. you know, I think it kind of shows the game that's being played there. You know, the stakes are a little bit higher for women walking around than for men.
Sure. Sure.
So when women get an opportunity to dogpile on men, hey, you know, safety of the keyboard. So I understand why the thing went viral.
Harvey Weinstein's rape conviction got vacated.
Yeah, I saw that. You know, they kind of botched up that trial by having the, having the Jane Does come in and talk about previous acts.
Right, and yeah, I didn't quite understand how they screwed that up, though, because that was the reason that the trial was vacated. Was because of the way they treated those witnesses and the witness.
They disproportionately colored the jury with
yeah.
Right.
But I know at the time there was the Me Too movement, and it was kind of powerful, and maybe something that people in court we're reluctant to go against.
Well, the thing is, though, you know, when you introduce previous acts, you need convictions attached to those acts.
Right.
You know, I mean, that helps. It doesn't mean you're going to automatically get that into trial, but you do need that at least. And so it seems like that's what was missing from this testimony was these weren't prior act convictions. They were just prior acts.
Right.
Now, between you and me, I don't give a shit. I mean, honestly. Yeah. I think in a case like this, you may not have previous convictions. So, you know, I would definitely be I'd definitely be more on the side of letting that testimony stand.
The crowd likes it.
Crowd agreed. Right.
Well, the thing, a person as powerful as Harvey Weinstein, I mean, that's why it hadn't been, you know, previously adjudicated. That was kind of the whole deal.
But he's got 30 years, 20 years. How many years does he have in L.A. County, Leo's? 20 years, 25 years, something?
That sure seems like something like that.
Something like that. So, I mean, this is irrelevant to that. It has no effect on the California trial. Mm-hmm.
Of course, this vacation. Vacation?
Right.
Vacating.
It's got to be right.
at any rate. It's not going to do him any good. He's still in prison for the rest of his life.
Yes, he is.
Mm-hmm. So I guess it's a distinction without a difference.
You got to love Rose McGowan in all of this. Man, she turned into like a superhero, you know?
Right.
Jesus Christ. Nobody remembers when this shit started. She got up and said, "We're coming for you."
Yeah.
Yeah. And nobody had come for him.
She was the first one.
Yeah.
Everybody else was Me Too.
Right. Imagine the stories we're not hearing. Hello, hello.
Right. No kidding.
Show just went off the rails.
So,
we got to get tripod holders. You know what I mean? We're going to have to try this at some point.
We definitely. And maybe, before we whip it on them?
That's what a real performer would do, I think.
Right?
Should we
have to learn to wing it, though.
I'm all for winging it, too. Just try to see how it goes. In fact, I was just going to I was gonna go live right now and just like focus in on the ashtray or something and just have the ashtray there shut. But I want to make sure that people can hear you also. So that's where we're, you know...
A certain amount we do need to make sure is in place.
At the very minimum, you have to have a TikTok and we have to connect those accounts when I go live. So that's the very base minimum, us holding our cameras in our phone in our hands, right? Which we could do,
you know. Which we could do, and in fact I'm doing it right now because it's plugged in and I want it close to my face.
Well, the other question is the Zoom recorder. So we've got some issues here. We have issues here.
That's a thing. Recording off Zoom. I don't have a Zoom account.
I have my physical recorder here, so I can record it. But
yeah,
is the audio going to pick up? I guess the phone's picking up the TikTok audio.
I would think.
So it's okay for me to talk into this mic and do this on the Zoom. But then how's that going to work with me calling you and you're also on TikTok? I think you're going to have to log into TikTok on your computer, on your desktop, I think.
I would think so.
And then you're going to have to talk into your mic anyway.
Right.
But you don't have to have headphones on because we'll be hearing each other through the Zoom audio. Or through the TikTok audio.
See what I'm saying? That might be a thing. I've recently had to use my headphones. Well, no, not exactly.
This is a tough thing. You know, the second thing is, could we get a audio recording from the TikTok thing? You know what I mean? I don't know. We got a lot of issues. We need a young person here is what we need. Like, you don't know any younger people that know about this?
Well, I certainly do. The one who was helping us is in France, though.
That makes sense.
He's in Toulouse.
Yeah, of course he is.
Of course he is.
He's a spook.
We need a spook.
We need more spooks. Look, we need more regular spooks is what we need. Yeah, when I say spook, of course, I mean intelligence agent.
But Cosmo's got a couple of friends who are absolutely computer. They're nearly hackers, so...
Okay, so maybe they know about TikTok, too.
Right.
I mean, you're going to have to explain our use case to them, you know?
Yeah.
We're trying to do TikTok live, and we also would like a audio recording of it.
Sure.
God damn it, I hate being old.
Right? And now everybody's going to know.
It's not even worth it. It's not even worth it now. Yeah, this show is going to live as a testament to how inept we were at the beginning.
Sure.
Or before it failed completely. I don't know. I don't know. Now I'm worn out.
Although, I will say, being old might not be the, the impediment that we might think it could be.
Right?
We're listening. I was at my high school reunion.
Okay.
And
what year reunion was that? It was the 20, 50, 40, 30.
58.
No, no, but what year? Oh, so it was what year reunion was it? Like the 30s?
58
year reunion?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Right, exactly. Everybody's going to know. I graduated in 1966.
Okay. Year of our Lord.
And so the reunion was interesting, but the next day we went to the old high school and did a tour with some current students.
Okay.
So I got interviewed by the student newspaper.
Okay.
Right? Which was kind of interesting.
Wow.
But this one girl just kind of glommed on and was through the entire walkthrough, was just asking me questions and talking about herself.
About life or about the world or?
Well, about what school was like and what music was like and what music do I like now. Huh. And, you know, just everything, actually. So
you managed to hook up with the one actual journalist.
Well, she wasn't one of the journalists, though. I mean, that was over with. This other girl just... I don't know. Although I will say, too, I probably looked cooler than anybody else.
Well, yeah, that's usually the case, James. I mean, you know.
So if you shaved all the hair off all the other men that were there in attendance to the reunion and put it in a pile and then shaved my head,
right,
mine would clearly be a bigger pile.
So... You're saying you had a positive experience because you've lucked out with more hair follicles than all the other people. Right.
It could be just that simple. I don't know.
Hmm.
I am pretty cool, though.
Well, I mean, you know, the longer you go with a full head of hair, Like, you start getting into some, you know, like, weird, you know, ruler of the earth type situation. You know what I mean? Especially right. For an older man. I mean, you see an older man with a full head of hair, it's like, wow, okay, so...
No, but he's doing something right.
Someone made a deal with the devil at some point.
Right. Yeah, well, I've heard that before.
And then it's like, oh, yeah, he's got a full head of hair, but he, you know, he had the surgery. Who gives a shit about the surgery? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Well, you've done sit-ups, right? I mean, that's kind of, you know, it's the same thing.
I should. I used to, but I haven't done them in a while.
I don't think I've ever done a sit-up that wasn't forced upon me.
Oh, I get assiduous. I've been assiduous in the past.
No, but that was nice though. You go to the reunion, you know, you got your you know, your Fabio main working. That must have been, I mean, you know, were you lording it over other people?
I'm not a lorder over of other people. Generally speaking, so
like this is a good time to toss my hair a little.
Like, yeah, right. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, hey, I don't have to toss my hair. I mean, these are balding old men. You know,
I got you. Did you meet people from that you remembered from school, like that were your buddies?
So, well, that was one thing that was kind of interesting was you would not have recognized these people without the name tags they had with a picture from your high school yearbook on them.
Wow.
And yeah, so that would, oh, Dana Subercroft. Wow. You know, actually Dana did sort of look like what he used to, but the women, especially the women that I was really attracted to in high school.
Right.
And they're old ladies.
This isn't going to play as well as you think it is.
I know, trust me, from my recent
TikTok experience.
Okay, so the thing of it is, though, here's these women that, you know, I'm thinking, well, they're old ladies, and they're my age, though, so there's a bit of chauvinism there or something.
Yeah, just a bit.
At the same time, though, once I'd started talking to them, you know, these women that I was attracted to in high school, and my old attraction started to bubble back up.
Really?
And yeah. It was an interesting process. They're still, you know, old ladies, but at the same time, that old feeling started to come up as I was talking to them. So high school reunions are weird. Really weird.
Let's just delete all of this about the school. I don't know.
Because there's this... Okay, so, all right, the other thing was I hooked up with my high school buddies. There was three of us that hung out, went to shows together, games, dances. It was always the three of us. And I wondered how that, we were tight, you know, and I wondered how that was going to go because one of us was a trumper.
Oh, okay. Of the three?
And of the three, and the other two not. And we've kind of gotten a little tense on Facebook, you know, me responding to some pro-Trump meme and like, you know, like I will.
Right.
And so it did get a little tense. We had to, you know, stop interacting for a little while and that kind of thing. So I kind of wondered how it was going to be. But we got together. Immediately it was hugs and fraternity and you know, the interaction that we had as teenagers came back almost immediately.
Oh, that's cool.
The way we interacted, you know, the kind of jokes we told, the kind of interaction that we had with each other, it came back almost immediately. And we didn't mention Trump, so that was probably a good thing.
Well, I think that's a social contract thing right there, you know? That's what families used to do at Thanksgiving.
Oh, right. I wondered if it could have happened, I'm certain that it was good that it didn't, because we were able to reconnect and remember why we were friends in the first place.
So were you able to hook up with any of your old girlfriends, like make out with them or anything Anything happen?
No, but one of my buddies did.
Really?
Although, so one of the gals, we were leaving, and I gave this one gal a hug. She wanted a kiss on the lips. She wanted a kiss on the lips.
Really?
You know, yeah, yeah. So, okay. She was pretty loud and brash in high school, too. Hmm. She continues loud and brash to this day. As a matter of fact, it was an in memoriam, kind of the end of the thing.
Oh, wow.
With the pictures of those that have passed on.
Right.
She's hollering and shouting out.
Hey, Johnny.
Right. She was great, though. She was great. It was great seeing her. But
see, yeah, that's interesting, though, that people were still down to hook up, you know, at the 58-year reunion, you know?
Oh, yeah. She went to the hotel room of my buddy.
Unbelievable.
That night.
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would say that's good news overall, right? I mean,
there's hope, right, for all you youngsters out there.
For all you youngsters in your mid-50s.
Wondering how. And the other thing you learn is high school never ends.
How are we going to hide our increasing ages from our TikTok audience? Or should we lean into it?
We're going to have to lean into it. That's the only thing.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Anything short of that would be disingenuous.
something like that, yeah. I mean, there may be a way, but I think leaning into it is really the only thing we can.
Well, we are far and away not the oldest people on TikTok. If you've spent any time looking at TikTok, yeah. So we're definitely late to the party in terms of that.
And you know, there's plenty of old people that are still, you know, with it. And
Hey, I saw a guy on TikTok the other day. I swear to God, he was 1,000 years old if he was a day. Okay. And yeah. he even had a banjo that looked like an old school vaudeville style banjo. And he had like a little makeshift recording studio. And I'm like, I'm watching him. He's talking a little bit. He's strumming the banjo. He's talking about the banjo or something about banjos or some shit. Okay. And I started to make fun of him, like, this old bastard. And then I look up and he has like 11,000 people watching him at that moment. So you tell me.
So there you go.
Like a full on actionable audience. Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And it's just him holding the banjo, strumming it occasionally, and talking about banjos. I guess, but I didn't watch any more of it. But
okay. Well, I mean that's amazing. But then again,
it is amazing.
Been around long enough to figure stuff out. You know.
That's the thing. I think young people are interested in these different sources of information, right? Not they're well aware of where their data comes from, and so when they find an old person in captivity, sure they want to they want to see what knowledge has been obtained there. So that's the scam. Can we make them think we have knowledge?
Right, because, I mean, in many cases, some of us do. Look at Noam Chomsky.
Look, we could do an advice line, I'm telling you. I always thought we could do this, you know, where people, young people, or anybody, ask us opinions or, advice on something, some issue.
All right,
and then
sure.
And then we
like a helpline. Like a Dear Abby.
Like a helpline, but live. Like a love line. You ever listen to Love Line back in the day?
Yeah, sure. Well, that was hilarious, though.
It was great.
I don't know.
You're saying we're not as good as Jimmy Kimmel and Adam Carolla? That's what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that. I mean, we might be pretty hilarious, too. But who did Love Line?
Dr. Drew and Adam Carolla.
That's right. Adam Carolla. Yeah.
Well, okay. So forget about being as good as Adam Carolla. That's not going to happen. So right. Adam Carolla is his own thing.
We're us and they're them.
He's him and he was made for radio. So that's you can't judge yourself against him. But
face for radio?
Dr. Drew is not hidden. I'm not going to say that. He's supremely talented. Let's say that. But Dr. Drew wasn't a performer. He's a doctor. You know what I mean?
Well, that's kind of our thing. We're not performers. We're just a couple of hillbillies yammering.
Yeah, we're not doctors either.
About the news and about life.
So you don't want to do the helpline, you're saying? what if we took a portion of each show and opened that up for helpline?
I'm fine with, I'll answer anything.
Well, I know, and that's why, and I think these young people out there, maybe they don't have somebody in their life to answer everything, you know? I don't know. we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, one thing they wanted to know is what music I liked, current music that I liked, and that was a little tough.
That is tough
for me.
What'd you say?
A lot of modern music that I really don't like at all, and I had to admit to being completely interested in the Taylor Swift phenomenon, mostly because I don't understand it.
Hmm.
Did
she explain it?
I liked it. Huh?
Did she explain it?
Oh, well, there's no... no. However, I was talking to my sisters about their kids. They're all in on Taylor Swift.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, my brother-in-law's got an interesting relationship with his married daughter now, but they talk about music, and so apparently the new album was ready to drop at midnight on and they're just all there waiting by their phones.
Wow.
To download this album as soon as it drops. And so in the few minutes before, she texts her father and, oh, 5 more minutes until the new album drops. Can you wait? Aren't you excited? He texts back, pulse pounding, heart rate going up. And she texts back, sarcasm doesn't become you, Dad.
That's funny.
Right. So at any rate, though, but they're all, it's crazy. Swift mania is unlike Beatlemania, but it's akin to it.
Well, when you talk about the amount of people that are coming to shows, that kind of fervor, that's straight out of Beatlemania.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this isn't her first time touring in the United States, mind you. You know what I mean?
This is not her first rodeo.
Right. Like she's toured before. She's had multiple albums. She has a whole life and history and career here. And they're still foaming at the mouth for it.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. More so than ever, as it appears, with this new album.
Well, the more backlash that she gets from anywhere else just stokes the flames of it, you know?
Well, that backlash that came up when they were suddenly worried about her being a Democrat, and don't get into politics, and don't, you know, just be a performer, and she's an idiot for, endorsing Biden, which she hadn't done until since 2020.
Right.
She hasn't said anything about it, so what? They're all
well. They just need a storyline, right? So they have those comments from 2020, and then here she is dating Travis Kelce. So she's national news again on TV because of the Super Bowl playoffs.
Right?
So they figure, oh, okay, well, this is a good idea to bring it up again. No, it's not, because she kicked your ass last time. And
well, I think they, because I'm not hearing too much anti-Swift these days. So maybe they learned their lesson again. I don't know.
Hopefully this time they did.
Right. But she is amazing. I get that. And I guess it's in the lyrics.
Well, what I've heard, they're very approachable, the lyrics. It's in terms of they're relatable, you know?
But if you're not a young woman, if you're not a young woman that's getting into the dating pool, what is it?
Well, there's some nostalgia there to it. It puts you back in the moment, perhaps, even if you're not a woman, even if you're just a guy. You know, that kind of you know, relationships, puppy love, you know.
Sure. And guys can even relate.
And they're weighty concepts, too, breaking up, and, you know, redemption, and, you know, it's a full circle thing. It's, you know, she speaks from some authority to a young woman, certainly, having went through her life.
Yeah, that is clear. And she's pretty open about it. And, I mean, she has a situation with a lover, and she's going to write about it.
Exactly, which is being exposed. It's being vulnerable. It's, you know, and, you know, part of that's just she knows they're going to be talking about it anyway, so she might as well put her narrative out there, too. But the music is coming from her. That's why it's connecting, is because it's about her. It's her thoughts and feelings. It's not some show. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like when AC/DC plays Hell's Bells, what are you like, oh, geez, they're really into Hell's Bells? I mean, you know what I mean? It's a show. Right.
And or somebody singing about all the bling that they got or going to get, or, you know, it just doesn't connect in the same way.
It doesn't connect in the same way. No.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm amazed by her. The way she bested the record companies.
Yeah.
That's never happened before, and you know, for me, it was like one for our team. You know, because the record companies have really had their way with artists since day one.
Well, you know who the first one to do a Taylor Swift was on a level of that was Prince.
That's right.
Now changed his fucking name. Like, you know what I mean? What do you mean? What do you mean you own the copyright to the name Prince? That's my actual name.
Yeah.
So he changed his name. I mean, that was the first one where he said, wait a minute, I own this. I made this art. I own it. Like, what? I understand you're helping me produce it and bring it to the masses, but that doesn't give you ownership of it.
So I think Taylor did one better where they own the recordings. She just re-recorded everything.
Yeah, they own the publishing. So basically, the song gets played, they get money. And Taylor Swift was like, hey, well, hold on a second here. You know, I mean, you made a lot of money off of the record sales. You have to make everything off of all the plays, too. And she re-recorded the shit, note for note.
Yeah.
Note for note. She's going to re-record all of the albums that are owned by somebody else.
And the additional genius of that was her fans went out and bought it again, even though they had the originals.
Exactly. And they're rejecting the old one.
Yes.
Right. It's crazy. It's crazy. You know, unless, in the future, you'll look at that and go, well, that's common sense, right? An artist should own their work, right?
Right. That's not the way publishing has worked down through
history.
History, yeah.
You can go back to the Vatican for that one.
Do you know how much Jane Austen got from, you know, her books that she wrote? Some the top of English letters, Jane Austen,
right
near the top. She's near Shakespeare, you know, and she mostly would get, well, the first one, Pride and Prejudice, she sold outright, and got no more after that. And then she made a little better deals on the subsequent books, but
how much did she get?
If I remember right, it was £500.
Jesus Christ.
Which was a lot of money back in those days.
Sure.
You know, £50 a year you could live. £100 you could live comfortably.
Okay. So a year of living comfortably.
Definitely.
A few years of wow.
Yeah. But yeah, that was it. After that, the publisher's getting everything.
Well, like Motown is famous, right, for ripping all those people off?
Oh, sure. Well, Willie Dixon even took songwriting credits from people who came in to record with it.
You know, so you'd see these compilations, Motown, greatest hits, and, you know, as a kid, you're thinking, oh, that's cool. You know, those artists can still make money. No. No.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, this is a thing, right? You know, and I heard Drake's just signed a new record deal, and it's reflective of what Taylor has done.
I shouldn't wonder, because before she had, well, that was last year when she had every song in the top 10 was a song from her record. And Drake previously had one period where he had like six.
Right, six of the top 10, right.
Yeah, yeah. And so
I think he's
clearly envious of the way she did that.
Absolutely. And so I guess as part of his new deal, he's going to retain 100% of his publishing.
So, all right, good. Okay, so right. She started a trend then.
Oh, yeah. And it's a trend that Michael Jackson should have started. It's a trend that Prince certainly should have got it going then, you know.
And I don't think it's cutthroat business. She's so nice. She is very nice. She seems like a good person. And she's doing what could be called cutthroat business practices.
Well, from their perspective. But I mean, honestly, look, we're talking about a tour that makes billions of dollars. And all she's saying is, I made that money. So you guys can get rich. It's fine.
And most people are saying, yeah, she's right.
Yeah, it's common sense. It's common sense. I mean, look, there's artists in the future. Many artists in the future will owe a lot to her, you know?
That's clear. And I, you know, I think her niceness is something that maybe I'm not fully understanding how it impacts, you know, the adoration that she engenders. I saw a desktop concert. One of those deals where it's just a small room and she's there by herself with her guitar. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have, you know, dancers behind her. And,
right. Big stage production. Yeah.
Right. So it's just her talking to the small crowd of people. And she was totally charming and very easy with them and seemed, you know, like just like this easy, relatable person.
Right.
And she was very charming. So I kind of get it, but wow,
it's weird. It's you know, and I don't want to say, oh, she's better than Madonna. You know what I mean? You know, Madonna was her own thing, and it was a moment. And Madonna was as groundbreaking for female performers as anyone.
Sure, yeah, for sure.
And I can't look at Madonna. You know, Madonna, it's a show. You're seeing a show. There's a, you know what I mean? It's a performance. Even when she's not on stage, she's performing. I can't discount her because she's not connecting in that personal way because of that. I mean, that's just how it was then, you know?
Yes.
It was the MTV deal.
That girl who was, following me around at the old high school, I had followed me around. She just, you know, had approached me and wanted to talk. And so we did, she was asking about, you know, what other artists I like. And I did mention Billie Eilish and Amy Winehouse and which she kind of got, but I don't know how hip that was.
No, because time is moving fast now.
Right, right.
Right.
And I wonder if Billie Eilish is taking a page from Taylor Swift's book here. She's, you know, she went from making weird music in the bedroom with her brother and to instant start. She, you know, she does the James Bond theme.
Well, she went one step further. She cut the entire band out of the equation. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Well, right.
We'll just make all the music ourselves here.
Yeah, right. Right. Her and her brother.
But that's the world that exists now. Now, of course, you know, old school artists would tell you, rock and rollers would tell you, it was always like that. You could always press your own album. You could always, you know what I mean? You could always own all your albums.
I don't think people really realize that. In the 60s, it was about getting a record deal. Well, one, access to a recording studio wasn't common. I mean, it was, it cost $100,000 to make a recording studio in the first place.
Right, right.
So that was out of sight for most people. I mean, some rich musicians did finally build some, you know, some recording studios in their homes, that kind of deal, but not at first. It was, you got to talk some record executive into,
oh, yeah.
you know, go along with your thing.
In fact, it was the start of the grunge era, really, where we see artists getting 4-track recorders and, you know, this entire album is recorded on a 4-track in my living room.
Well, I think that comes out of the punk, you know, DIY ethos.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter if it's a little rough. In fact, so much the better.
Yeah, the bands were a little rough.
Yeah, yeah. We still went to a recording studio, and we did self-produce records, though, in that early punk era. So, in a way that 10 years earlier, they would not have been able to.
But you know, while you guys are going, you're trying to record your own stuff, you're doing a little touring, whatever, you probably would have traded all your publishing for the record deal at that time.
Well,
if they came to you, if Mercury or whatever, whoever came to you, I don't know who would that have been, Arista maybe at that time, I don't know.
Well, Mercury did come to us, and A&M and Capitol,
right.
Really all of them were coming to our shows in those, you know, silk jackets with the company logo.
So if one of those scumbags hung out after the show and cut some rails, and you guys are sitting around having some long necks, and
it went that far.
And he opens up his briefcase and says, "Look here, you know, we'll bring you guys out to LA. We'll record this album over the course of a couple months, and we'll get you on tour. Just sign right here. We'll pay for everything."
Yeah. So I don't know what. I can't remember what exactly kind of offers we did get. We got some, but we passed on them. I wish that we had signed with, a small punk label like Bomb.
Yeah, but you passed on them because they weren't real offers. You know what I mean? They were offers to go into business with someone. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about an octopus bringing you to the breast and letting you feed. That's what I'm talking about. All set up, they take care of everything, and they own 100% of the publishing. Not that you guys aren't going to make money off the record or the tour, but
I don't know. I can't remember exactly what, you know, why we didn't go with Capitol and why we didn't.
Well, let me ask you. Let me ask you now, sitting here now, if you could go back and that kind of a deal was offered, we're gonna get you guys on the radio. It's you're going to be a band, a real band, you know?
Yeah, so I would reject it out of hat. I would, and maybe I did then, too. I can't quite remember exactly
what. We don't want that. We can do it ourselves, guys. Fuck them. That's the perspective.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, because we kind of were. I mean, we already recorded 2 singles and an EP ourselves.
Hey, you guys are doing it.
So we were halfway there.
You're halfway there. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And
but they're willing to just open the door and let you get into a limo and take you the rest of the way there.
But what we were doing was ignoring Bomb Records or Danger House,
right,
which they would have signed us in an instant. And with a, you know, where we would keep most of our, you know, ownership.
Hey, you guys were really extreme. Oh, you were real punks.
Looking at us. Yeah, we got Capitol looking at us. Why would we want to go with Bomb? Can't even put us anywhere, you know?
Right.
So I think that was the thinking. We should have, though. I think we should have
sold out.
No. I think signing with Bomb was not selling out. It was, I think we would have had a better place in history if we'd done that, though.
If you'd signed with Capitol Records?
No, if we'd signed with Bomb.
Hmm. Oh, I see.
Well,
that would have been like a little more exposure.
The Beat Farmers signed with the MCA, and MCA pretty much just put them on the back burner.
Oh, okay.
And
right,
just didn't push them.
Yeah, that happened, too. They tried to kill punk like that.
Yeah. Another band, DFX2, did the same thing, signed with MCA, and MCA, it was almost like this catch and kill deal with, with the National Enquirer.
Well, that's what also, I mean, that's kind of what they were doing in the end of grunge as well, you know what I mean, towards the end? Big labels were coming in, signing bands, and that was it. you know.
But it was beginning. That was the beginning of the last gasp of the dominance of the record labels.
Right.
Nicey Nice World and Western West, our recent projects, completely self-produced, and you know we got a nomination for best recording here at San Diego Music Awards. So I mean the technology of the recording is rivals the best.
I see. So you're doing studio quality recording now on your own.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. And
we've come full circle.
Maybe. Yeah. Right. But see, I think maybe $5,000 would have gotten us the equipment that we have, you know, used to do that.
Right. Well, Capitol was going to give you all the equipment, whatever you wanted.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
And put us on tour, that kind of stuff.
And they were going to put you into a nice hotel in Sherman Oaks, and they were going to have you right there by the studio, and they were going to...
I think they were never quite there, just like we were never quite there, though. It was just an almost kind of thing.
Hmm. You have regrets about that?
Well, I was never trying to be a rock star.
Yeah, that was kind of your guys' thing, right? It was kind of an antithesis of that.
But Wild Man Fisher one time asked me, did I want to be a rock star? And this was he was interviewing me, too. And I said, no, I don't think I did. And I really don't think I was worried about where this was going to take me. It was so much. Goddamn much fun right now.
Right.
And the shows were so much fun. I didn't need anything else.
Right. That you were doing it for
it's
that.
Worth doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And it was a party, and there was women, you know, finding women to date was easier, and just the whole thing.
Jesus
the whole
Christ.
Thing. It's worth doing right now, no matter what came out of it.
I see.
Yeah, that was good enough for me.
I mean, I have regrets that I didn't learn to play guitar.
I never learned to play guitar.
It's too late now.
They say it's never too late.
I know, but, you know, my hands.
Look at Colonel Sanders.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Look at Irma Bombeck.
Right?
Right?
So it happens. It happens, yeah.
I mean, she had like 30 bestsellers, and she started publishing when she was 51. I mean,
is that right?
Oh yeah, yeah. People got tired of hearing her tell the stories.
Yeah, exactly.
So this, this show hasn't been very good. I mean, let's be honest. We haven't really gotten into any politics. So
We kind of missed that. Although, I did take a side trip down, you know, to high school reunion days. And I recommend that you go to them.
I went
They're
to my 20.
Always interesting.
I went to my 20. It was good. I went to my... I didn't go to my 30.
Uh-huh.
Which was in Vegas, actually. So it would have been a good one to go to, probably.
Have you been to any since, just the 20?
Excuse me?
Have you been to any others except you went to the 20? Any others?
No. So when is my next opportunity? So I just missed the 30 in 2022.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to make it to 2032 for the 40.
Yeah, right.
So I would say there's definitely an asterisk next to that for me.
Well, each one has been different. The 10-year... a lot of people had an agenda to correct, you know, the stuff that wasn't happening for them in high school.
Hmm.
They wanted to correct that somehow. And so I probably had an agenda too. I showed up in a long hair, black leather jacket. I had this model looking, well, she was a model. just gorgeous woman, tall, on my arm. And so, you know, that.
So that was a good moment for you. You like that moment.
It's a good moment.
Sure.
I remember that this one girl showed up and everybody's going, who's Wanda Adams? There she was. Long blonde hair, sheath dress, just hugging her. Very nice figure. And she was dancing and creating quite a sensation. Went home with Louis Alvarez that night. And so we, as soon as the thing was over, we went home to look at the yearbook and look up Wanda Adams. And so, you know, there she was, short, dark hair. Nobody remembered who she was. So she was clearly looking to make a splash, and she did.
I see.
I didn't go again until the 40. And I found it kind of boring. Yeah, there was, my two friends were not there, you know, that I hung out with. And I wound up hanging out with Joe Anderson, who I didn't really know all that well, but he's a funny guy. He was class president at one point. And so, I mean, it was kind of interesting, but it's nothing like this last one.
I feel like the people in my 20 all looked exactly the same as in high school. Did you feel that at your 20? I mean, aside from Wanda.
Right, aside from one.
I mean, could you easily recognize people? Or
you could.
At the 20.
That was not a problem.
Right.
Yeah. Although Bobby Peterson was bald already. At 28, he was already bald.
I had a buddy who was bald in junior high.
Yeah, right. I mean, it happens. There's a few people.
Great music. Talented musician. Singer. You know, opera. Not opera, but choral. Like a choral. What do you say? You know, chorus?
Choir.
Choir.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, so that guy was.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to make it. I mean, that's 8 more years from now. I don't. Current medical health trends for me do not suggest I'm going to make it.
Okay, well, if you do.
Right.
If you do go.
If I do go?
if you do go, well, you won't be able to, but if you do make it, go. Right.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. No, I'm with you.
So,
I'll take that advice.
Sure. Yeah, it was a crazy time reconnecting with my buddies in a really positive way. That was very cool. Seeing that, you know, some of the wildness had not yet been beat out of some of these people. That was really nice. And they also went more out. We had a great dinner. It was really good. Then the whole thing with the high school tour the next day was something we hadn't done.
See,
before.
We didn't do that. That would have been fun.
Yeah. That was my buddy was going, so I'll go, you know. But I wasn't expecting much. It was a lot more interesting than I expected, so.
Yeah, I went with my ex-wife, wife at the time, current wife, ex-wife. She was so smoking hot at our 20. Like, she was so hot, it made me look bad. You know what I mean? Like, there was something wrong with me.
That's supposed to make you look good, though.
I know, but not if there's too much of a separation. You know what I mean? So
it wasn't Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce.
No, not exactly. Maybe my Taylor Swift and Bernie Sanders or something. It did. You know, I mean, I dressed up. It was fine, but she was so gorgeous. And here's the other thing: is now I'm afraid. Now that we're not together, I'm afraid to go to the 40 without her. You know, because it's gonna kind of. You know, I think everyone in their minds.
Where's your wife?
Well, no, I think everyone in their minds is going to go see. You know, of course that wasn't going to last. You know, look at this gargoyle. So
we knew.
Yeah, we knew. We knew that was a short term thing. I mean, we were together 20 years. You know, so Yeah, I'm kind of nervous about that a little bit. But I guess, hey, you just show up. Hey, look, you know, I'm flying solo.
Well, that's what I've been doing.
What happened to your wife? Oh, she woke up, I guess. She decided.
I don't know. Would you ask her for me?
Yeah. Would you? If you tell her I miss her. You know, if you see her, tell her I'm just thinking about her. No. Yeah. No. Exactly. That's right. Life's rich pageant, right?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. So, I think I think you should go.
Everyone go.
Everyone go to your high school reunion. And they were always on, you know, the five multiple of five.
Oh, okay.
Years, you know, 10, 20, et cetera, 40. The 58, that was the one. Why'd they do it at 58? I have no idea. I never did get it.
I mean, they probably made a decision. They looked at the actuarial tables. Like, hey, look.
Right.
You know what I mean?
This in memorial file is getting longer here. So yeah,
pretty soon it's going to be like six people and like a 2-hour in memoriam movie. Yeah. It's like, what reunion is this? It's the 70.
Right.
Fuck it. You guys should be forced to get back together every 10 years till there's one of you left and then that one wins the lottery. You know?
Right? Maybe. You'd have to be the lottery, though.
That one gets the estates of all the other people. Like, it all gets transferred to you. Like, whatever's left. You know what I mean?
I like that, because I'm, you know, I stand fair to be that last one standing.
I'm telling you, you know, you're spry, and, you know.
I'm spry. My dad's 100. I got those genes.
Oh, yeah, so. Your dad's 100. Man, that's like, jeez. It's like having huge muscles. You know what I mean? When your dad's a hundo?
Yeah, really? Yeah. No kidding.
That says something without saying it.
He's pretty feeble. He's pretty feeble.
Whatever.
Walker, all that.
Whatever. Know? Whatever, dude.
Tells the same joke three times.
I already
minutes,
do that, so. And I'm in my mid-40s or late 40s.
We can probably find examples of that in our, you know, broadcast.
I guarantee you I'm 80% as senile as he is. I promise you that. You know what I mean? Look, things could change for me. Like, I start taking more vitamin D or whatever. I don't know. You know, I mean, things could flip around for me still. I'm not saying that the story's written, you know. But it's not looking great.
I might need to get some vitamin D myself.
They do a nice multivitamin that has the D, extra D in there. So, you know.
I just need D. I just need D.
Well, then you just need to go sit in the sun for 15 minutes.
Well, that's right. I know. And that's why I don't do the supplement now, because I do sit in the sun and that's apparently enough.
So. You just need 15 minutes. That's it. You know,
yeah.
Anything.
Yeah, I can
in fact,
that.
Everything over 15 starts to give you cancer. So that's how tight that window is, you know?
Right. And I've got a nice little spot in the sun on the, in the afternoon anyway. And so yeah.
Okay, you talked about. Ladies and gentlemen, not every show is going to have form and function. I mean,
because we're just a couple of hillbillies yammering.
We're just a couple of hillbillies, so you never know what's going to happen. And it makes it so exciting for you, the listener. Just assume that nothing interesting happened in politics this week.
Yeah, really? Yeah, we didn't get there, did we?
Because you do get fatigue. You know, there's multiple wars happening. There's this lots of vitriol with this election, you know.
Campus protests
that have turned violent.
Cousins arrested.
Yeah.
So it's big news. We just totally ignored it.
And if you're wondering how to feel about the campus protests, keep in mind that the students have been on the right side of every issue in American history. If the students were protesting, they were on the right side.
From the get-go. Yeah, yeah. 1776. It's actually 1774. Young people. did that.
Every game-changing progressive movement in American history starts on college campuses with rioting students.
Yeah.
Every single one of them.
Yeah, right.
So, but then somebody might say, well, yeah, but there's protesters that are pro-Israel and pro-Palestine. What do you think about that? I think about that exactly. Exactly.
There's many Jewish protesters protesting for Palestine.
Yeah. Some answers, your dad should have probably, or mom should have probably said this to you, but, you know, some answers are going to be more nuanced. Some results and solutions.
That's generally the case.
Yeah. I understand it's easy to fall into the polarization of yes, no, right and wrong, and evil and good. I get that. That's very tempting to jump in on that. But,
yeah, right.
But some things, mind you, are going to be a little more nuanced and complicated.
They say the devil's in the details.
This one's got a lot of details.
Right?
A lot of devil. A lot of devil.
And as a historian, I find that a lot of stuff is just generally known about history. Once you start looking at the nuance, you know, the details of what happened in this particular battle or, you know, political incident or whatever, it almost totally flips the thing on its head. And
how about, you know, we don't know what the answer is, but we know the answer we're going to want is going to be an answer that that provides what? Peace, security, right?
Right, and anyone would say so.
So that's the answer. Whatever answer we come up with, it's going to look like that, sort of. So maybe that's an idea we need to start planting in our head is looking for that result that winds up with peace and, you know, a cessation of this violence and, you know, a new path forward, right?
Right.
It's not going to end.
For sure.
It will not end at the end of a sword. It will not.
And it's so often that the sword is used.
You know, if we can just do this, we got to do this violence and then we can get. No. I'm
hearing stories of police overreaction as is common.
Right.
In these situations.
Well, let's save that for the next show. So
you'll save that. That's a whole other
thing. Right? You've been listening to All You Fascists. Sorry, we'd almost turned into a real show for a second there. But we didn't want that.
But we thought better of it and then ran out of time.
And there's the music. So, James, thank you.
Well, thank you, Dave.
And thank you to all of our listeners. And, you know, again, we're going to be going live soon. So, you know, if you don't have TikTok, you know what to do.
Right, even though it's possibly, it's not going to be banned.
Even
it's
though it could be banned in a matter of hours. Please. <Right. laughs> Probably the day we go live.
Right.
Have a great day.
I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, technically, if they don't die, if ByteDance doesn't divest, it's banned. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Divest, you guys. Collect your money.